Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Paul Enos and I talk with Dale Urquiaga. He's the State Superintendent of Public Instruction on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
This segment was brought to you by Amplify Relations, leading Nevada in public relations, government affairs, and advertising.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. ProGroup provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. ProGroup prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome back to the program Dale Urquiaga. He's the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Pleased to have you back on the program, sir.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
All right, so I want to jump to the governor's State of the State and the Achievement District that he's talking about, taking failing schools out and putting them into a new district. And my question to you is, we seem to have had great success with the turnaround zone and with the Zoom schools. Why not continue on with that model?
So we will continue on with that model. The way the governor has sort of envisioned the Achievement District, it's a measure of last resort. We have about 78 schools on an underperforming list in Nevada now. It's 10% of our schools. Some have been there for more than a decade. So not all of our interventions are working, whether they're turnaround zones or empowerment schools in some of the districts. But we want to have an Achievement District for those handful that we cannot fix in place. The preference is to keep the schools with their district and improve student achievement there. But we need a measure of last resort, and that's what the Achievement District will be.
But isn't the success of the turnaround zones, you know, something that could be put in place, or have they tried that and it just isn't working?
Most of the data shows that it's a mixed bag. It works in some instances and not in others. And so we have schools throughout the state, not just in Washoe County, that are on the underperforming list. And so if we can improve them in place, that's obviously our first preference. The governor has a bill, SB 77, that has measures for the department to assist. He's also proposed about $8 million in grant money for the first time in a long time that the state would actually provide assistance to the districts. But the Achievement District will be there should those students need it.
13% of those schools that are failing, or 13 of those schools that are failing out of the 78 are charter schools.
Yes.
Are you seeing people who have their kids in those charter schools leave them? That's one of the things we talk about with school choice is you have competition. If you have a failing school, a parent can take them somewhere else. Is that happening in those charter schools that are on the inadequate list?
There's some movement, but not all parents leave those schools. And so let me say very clearly, Charter schools will not be moved into the Achievement District. Charter schools have a very different performance management system. The state charter school authority has a means to either shut down an underperforming charter or transfer the charter to a different management organization. So I know there was some press recently about charter schools maybe going to the Achievement District. That's not our intention at all. Charter schools have their own accountability matrix. They can be closed down. But to your specific question, parents make their decisions for a lot of reasons. And so some folks are staying with their school because they're comfortable with it for other reasons. Our concern is, whether they're charter schools or district schools, we're not seeing the student growth that we should in some instances. And so we have to take steps.
Okay, so to be clear, because that was kind of, you know, it seemed to be going through the press there in various forms, that these schools will be converted to charter schools.
District schools that continue to underperform, that may be moved into the Achievement District, would be converted to charters. But it would make no sense to take a charter and convert it to a charter. They have their own accountability system, much more rigorous than district schools. When was the last time you know of a district school that was shut down?
Right.
I would submit never.
All right.
Charter schools, however, have a pathway to do that.
Okay. And
is it happening?
They are on year three, I think, of their performance. The charter schools are not run by the Department of Education. I think they're on year three of their performance management system, and they have put schools on notice.
And I noticed, you know, on the list of failing schools was the I Can Do Anything Charter School, which, going back several years, and Randolph Townsend got me involved in going to talk to them because they were doing such a sterling job. Do you have any thoughts on what happened
there? That school has some unique challenges in the population that they choose to serve. We're hearing this a lot from charters now. I think that charter school is actually authorized by Washoe County and not by the state, so they're accountable to your board of trustees. A different situation there. But I think what we're seeing a lot of charter schools in that space are working specifically with kids who struggle in traditional district comprehensive high schools or middle school and elementary schools. And so the population that they have doesn't fare well when we report student data. They sort of come in behind and it takes them longer to catch up. It's a very difficult scenario. Looking at all of this data is really one of the hardest things in public education today. And so I have to, in my job, and I think the governor did the right thing, we have to step way back and say, there are kids behind these data points. And allowing this to continue simply because we want to argue about the data points is inappropriate. That's children's lives that we are harming the longer we allow this to go on. As I say, some of these schools have been underperforming since the beginning of No Child Left Behind. That's a generation of kids that have been failed by a school.
Let's talk about No Child Left Behind, because there's still a lot of controversy about that, you know, whether it's from people who say the federal government has no business in determining what education standards are, whether it's the teachers' union. You look at it, and I think the biggest issue with No Child Left Behind isn't the standards, but it seems that we've created this situation where we are testing and testing and testing and prep testing, and kids, they're learning to the test. They're not learning and mastering that material.
That's the biggest criticism that you hear about accountability measures, is the accountability measures, whether it's No Child Left Behind or the state performance framework, are reliant on testing data. And because testing data now becomes more and more high stakes, faculty focuses on the test. That's sort of a poor unintended consequence of testing. However, you have to have a test. I always say it's like being on a diet. You have to get on the scale at some time. That's all a test is. My problem that I face is the state has a very limited number of summative tests that are given at the end of the year. But districts also have their own tests, and schools have their own tests. So mom and dad add up all those tests and say, oh, the state has too many tests. All those tests have different purposes. They're used for different things. The state tests are used for accountability purposes and ultimately informing next year's instruction, whereas a teacher's test or a district test are used, they call interim or formative assessment, to inform the work as we go along.
You know, it's interesting. You know, going back more than 30 years ago, a good friend of mine who came from Oklahoma said that his success in school was learning for the test rather than learning for the material. So this is not something new.
No. Even as old as I am, I took standardized tests. They were bubbled in, just like tests have been here for a long time. So it's really not new. We have focused on testing for a long time in this country. The thing I appreciate about the new generation of tests that Nevada will pilot this year is they are much more focused on what in that industry is called constructed response, which means you've written out a response rather than you've filled in a bubble.
Right.
And the thing I like about that, I heard this on actually the radio the other day, never in life are you given a multiple choice question. You have to be able to critically think your way through or problem solve your way through to the answer. It's the thing I appreciate about the new standards and the new assessment style.
You know, when I got my radio license, because when you first started to be a disc jockey in radio X amount of years ago, all right, last century, you know, you had to take this FCC test, and there were 20 questions. And I know I got 10 right, and then I got 5 right, at least, by the Eeny method. I just went Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, and I just thought, how stupid is this?
Yeah.
Let's take a break. More with the not-stupid Dale Urquiaga when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. Let's get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dale Urquiaga. He's the state superintendent of public instruction. Okay, let's get to the big one here, Common Core.
Sure.
Now, I got to tell you, we've done programs on Common Core, and I've walked away from these programs going, I still don't understand. So the other day, I got to moderate a discussion at the Republican Women's Group here in Reno on Common Core, and hearing both sides, and it was really kind of interesting. The people against Common Core are against Common Core because they believe that this is a conspiracy by the government to take over the lives of kids from day one to the end of days. Tell me about, you know, what kind of information is collected, released, and to whom?
Okay. So, this is a really complicated question.
Oh, yeah.
So let me just say this, and I'll try and make it be as simple as I can. Common Core is a list of standards. It's a list of what children should know and be able to do.
In math and English.
In math and English only. So they should be able to do addition in this way or construct a sentence in this way. That's all it is. It's a list of things children should know and be able to do. What goes on in your classrooms, lesson planning, curriculum development, textbook use, that's curriculum. That's all chosen at the local level. Has to be based on these standards so we can deliver the standards so we know. Testing then comes in and says, well, did we do our job? Did we achieve this standard? Do children know and can they do these things? Data collection exists over here. Data collection has been in public education for more than 20 years. It did not come with Common Core. It did not change with Common Core. That's an absolute fallacy. We've collected data since the 1990s. So, yes, we take that data. We take the students' information so we can see how the school in aggregate is doing. Teachers use that testing data so they can help the student improve. That's the best way that I can explain.
So, as a parent, mm-hmm. I mean, I get very frustrated, and it's not the Common Core, it's not the standards that I get frustrated over. It's a curriculum. And I mean, you see people, they post these math problems on Twitter, and math, that's really where I'm frustrated. Sure. I mean, I have a son who last year tested in the 98th percentile in math. This year, we adopted a new curriculum for math, Singapore Math, okay. where it's not the rote memorization that he's used to and that he's comfortable with. We're now teaching, instead of teaching math, it seems we're teaching logic, which was funny. I was talking to a very intelligent lady the other day about this, and she goes, my fear is we're getting away from creating a generation of American engineers, and we're creating a generation of lawyers. So what do you say to the parents who have those kids who were comfortable in math, who were memorizing timetables, which is how I learned, how my wife learned, and now we're doing this 180 and saying, no, there's different ways to get to the answer instead of the traditional linear method that we were taught.
Right. So my answer is the same as it was with the multiple guess questions. The intent of the new standards is really to teach children to think and to reason and to solve problems. So in a way, logic is a good way to think about it. Rote memorization doesn't help them. They can look up everything because they have the world at their fingertips, which you're younger than I, but even you didn't have it. I certainly didn't have it, so we had to memorize things like the world's capitals.
Well, and okay, 2 times 2 was 4. I mean, I have the little song in my head.
Let's be clear.
Well, they're not teaching in second grade, or they're not teaching in third grade now. Now those are things that they teach later. I mean, they're not learning long division when you and I learn long division. They're now pushing that up and up, and we've seen this proliferation. I mean, in South Reno, there are 3 brand new tutoring centers for kids. And I'm going, okay, is this because we're not doing a good enough job in our public schools, even in our private schools, where my kids go to a parochial school, in teaching these kids what they need to know and having a proper curriculum where they can succeed?
There's no doubt that the transition to what really are college and career-ready standards is very difficult. So faculty has to catch up. The school system has to catch up. But the alternative is what? Say to kids, well, we're just going to test basic proficiency and you're going to be in remediation when you get to college. 55% of Nevada high school graduates are remediated or qualify for remediation when they get to university level.
And I bet they all got Millennium Scholarships, too.
They probably did. We have not been teaching for college and career ready. We have been teaching for basic proficiency. That's what this shift is about. And it's very difficult. Believe me, I hear from mom and dad that they can't help with the homework anymore. The math in particular is very challenging.
My first grade daughter, I sat down with her, and so did my father-in-law. We went through and we helped her with her math homework. She got 75% of it wrong. And, you know, it's not just me. I mean, my father-in-law has a master's degree, is a lot smarter than I am. So if it was just me, hey, maybe one thing. But I know that is a frustration.
Very frustrating.
A frustration with parents. So, I mean, do you say, hey, go take your kid to these tutoring centers? I mean, what is your recommendation?
Many of the school districts have begun to offer tutoring for mom and dad so they can help with the work. You know, not all families can afford private tutoring. So I think that districts have to do a better job in parent and family engagement so that families can engage with the standards. Because at the end of the day, we have to do what's right for the kids, not what is comfortable for us or even what is comfortable for the school. Okay, the children have to be ready for college or career.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So that presents a problem in itself, which is that there are a lot of parents who are working two jobs, both parents working two jobs. How are they going to be able to cope to be able to help their kids when they're already stretched to the max already?
So one of the things that's included in the governor's budget is an increased focus, and you've mentioned Zoom schools, but also what he calls victory schools, which are schools in poverty where mom and dad may have to be working. So there's additional funding proposed in this budget for this very challenge, as there is, the governor has proposed what are called college and career readiness grants, as well as the turnaround grants that I mentioned. The governor has proposed a package of interventions and strategies that are funded to help the districts adjust to the modern reality. The entire program that this governor has presented to the legislature, I believe, is absolutely critical for what he calls the new Nevada. We are a more diverse state. We have different needs. We have different funding challenges. And we are, at the same time, in need of a much more educated, college and career-ready workforce. All these things have been happening at the same time. It's really a difficult time period to go through, but I think the governor's proposal to both invest and modernize the system is exactly the right track.
All right, let's take a break. More with Bill Urquhart. We're holding them over for the whole show right here on Nevada Newspapers.
This segment was brought to you by Amplify Relations, leading Nevada in public relations, government affairs, and advertising.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
I called Fallon Auto Mall, gave me all the information I needed on the vehicle. We were able to do the deal actually over the phone. They were able to get me a great rate. It was just a matter of minutes, and I was out the door.
The insurance companies know we're like a train heading for the courthouse. And unless they throw enough money on the tracks for our clients, we are not going to stop.
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
So do you guys have a favorite teacher?
Yeah.
I did too. And you know what's great is that News 4 has an excellence in education program that you can nominate them for.
Hi, I'm Shelby Sheehan of News 4. Each month, we take your nominations and find one special teacher to recognize. It's our way of highlighting all the wonderful teachers we have in our area. Each month's winner is honored at their school and featured on News 4.
United Federal Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Excellence in Education.
Along with Reno Aces Baseball.
When you're seriously injured, it's all about the money.
Money you need after an accident. Money the insurance company doesn't want to give you.
Laub & Laub has the know-how and attitude to fight for the money you deserve.
Call Laub & Laub.
Shop the Fallon Auto Mall, where there's a different way of doing business.
It was easy. Talked to the salesperson, got it ordered, and no dealer markup. It really was different than shopping in Reno.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dale Urquiaga. He's the state superintendent of public instruction. Okay, so back to my debate on Common Core. So the lady that was speaking, I'm going to take, it was all conservative, but this was really right-wing, was suggesting that kids should not be forced to learn their times tables or their reading beyond, a couple of words until they're 7 years old. And I just thought to myself, my goodness, when I was 4 and 5 years old, my mother was drumming into me the times tables, and we were reading and getting books. Is that make sense to you?
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. I think that the earlier we engage children, particularly with literacy and reading skills, the better foundation we build for them. Numeracy or mathematics is also a part of that. I'm a big believer in full-day kindergarten, as is this governor, which is why his budget would fund full-day kindergarten, so that all families have equal access to that foundation. It might be okay to hold knowledge from your kids until they're 7 if you're at home with them or they come from a family where there are lots of books and a robust background in learning. But if children start behind, if a child is in poverty and they don't have access to preschool, they don't have access to kindergarten, they start behind, they never catch up. They're going to drop out, we're going to lose them. So we have proposed full-day kindergarten. We've applied for a grant from the federal government to increase preschool for children in poverty. But those things remain optional. So probably what the lady is referring to, in Nevada, one does not have to take one's children to school until they are 7. Compulsory education doesn't begin in Nevada until age 7.
And we wonder why we are lacking in competition with Asian countries.
Let's talk about, some of the kids, who are in poverty. We have seen With No Child Left Behind, one of the goals was to get rid of that gap between, our kids, either, from different racial backgrounds or from different socioeconomic backgrounds, and get rid of that gap. How are we doing today? And do you think we have a good benchmark set? So in 5 years from now, after the governor's plan has been implemented, we can say, yes, we made a difference.
We're not doing well. The achievement gap persists in Nevada among racial and ethnic groups, as well as among students in special education. and students with language acquisition issues, English language learners. So we're not doing very well. Our gains have been small each year. So I believe that the governor's program to invest and modernize the system will give us exactly the right picture. The governor has required that every new dollar come with a third-party evaluation so that I be able to report to him and the legislature, is this program working? And if it's not, don't fund it next time. Move the money to a different evidence-based program that will work. So we have to close the achievement gap. I think the governor's plan will get us down that road, but I also know that the plan is filled with enough accountability measures that folks will should feel comfortable that their money is being spent wisely and in the exact place that it should be spent. The program is almost entirely comprised of individualized grants that target student populations rather than just money into the full distributive school account.
One of the things that we folks who pundit on things get to get is when the governor was giving his State of the State speech, we actually get a copy of the speech and we all rush through it. And I got to the part where it said Pedro Martinez was going to be part of this achievement district, and I was kind of stunned. Now, as it turns out, he's not going to be here because he's already up for another job in Boston. And as you've explained before the program, he was only planning to be a part of this for several months.
Yep.
Why did the governor do this? It's hard for me to understand.
Pedro brings...
And especially when it's privately funded, which is also kind of strange.
Well, for the first year and a half, we'll raise the money to design the district and then get it up and running because we didn't want to take money away from the existing district schools. We want to improve those schools. So we didn't want to be accused of taking resources away when they need it most. And Pedro makes perfect sense. He's worked in Clark County. He's worked in Washoe County, where I think 80 to 85% of our children live. And he understands both districts and underperformance in both districts. But he also worked in Chicago, which has contract schools, charter schools, and district schools. So he has a different approach in his own foundation. So he's a great, he serves as a consultant. We call it a superintendent in residence. But he's a great partner in designing what's a very complicated intervention, the Achievement District. We're lucky to have him, but we also wish him well in his quest in Boston.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much, as
Thank
always.
You.
We always enjoy you being
Thank
here.
Thank you.
We'll be right back in Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The University of Nevada School of Medicine has been making Nevada healthier for more than 45 years. Our groundbreaking research is making an impact locally, nationally, and worldwide. And we're making a difference with doctors providing medical care near you. As Nevada's statewide public medical school, we offer an educational value amongst the highest in the country. We are partnering with leading Nevada hospitals and healthcare institutions to combine teaching and learning with outstanding clinical care. Join us in improving Nevada's health and yours.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your Couture dry cleaner and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch, to a nationalized partner in textile restoration. Bobby Pages, 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner, we're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at bobbypages.com.
Witness the spellbinding magic of Madame Houdini. Now on stage at the El Dorado. Enter a world of magic with stunning effects and spectacular fantasy. Madame Houdini. Choreography by Mistinguett. Grand illusions and dazzling deceptions. An experience you won't forget. Madame Houdini at the El Dorado. Call 786-5700 today.
Charter Spectrum, America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice company, is about to change the game for your business. Announcing Spectrum Business. Not just far faster internet, not just far more phone features, but the lowest price by far. So you can unleash your productivity and save money. That's not just a game changer, that's game over. Charter Business is now Spectrum Business. Get everything your business needs with no contracts or hidden fees. Switch to Spectrum Business today.
On our next broadcast, Fred Locken will try to put the legislature in perspective. We'll see you then.